And welcome to the Sportscast, April 13th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Please subscribe first and then rate and review. And go on to thesportscast.net for the latest news in sports. And check out the latest article by Justin Riley, which he's actually here to report on something. But today is Alabama's Alabama A Day. It's a spring game they have in April. And to tell us a little bit about it is Justin Riley. Welcome back to the Sports Guys.
Hey, glad to be here, man. We've got some college football in the middle of spring to tide us over until the fall. So anytime we have that, it's a pretty exciting day.
Can you explain to the audience what's A Day? What does it consist? Why does it matter?
Well, it matters is because we get a glimpse of college football during the, quote, dead period, where we don't have a whole lot going on. And it also allows us to get a glimpse into what to expect coming into the fall. For some of us, it gives us a lot to be excited about. For others, it may cause some frustration. But either way, college football is in the air, and it's always a great opportunity for those of us who are fans to enjoy the game. And I couldn't be more excited than to be a part of the A-Day game, the annual spring football game against Alabama's best on Alabama's best. One of the cool things about the A-Day game, if those of our audience who are not familiar are just now listening, the winner of this game will have a steak dinner with all the trimmings, just they go all out, whereas the loser will be eating a pot full of beanie weenies. So a lot at stake there. But it's just a really fun time. It's really relaxed, low-key, no stress at all. And it really allows us just to get our feel and just get a really good glimpse as to what we have coming in, like I said earlier.
Now, obviously, it's I believe it's the Crimson versus the White teams. Who are on these teams? Is it the practice squad? Is it like the rookies? Who are in them?
Well, actually, it's an even mixture of everybody. Alabama actually will pick two captains of each squad, of the White and the Crimson squad. Nick Saban is the, quote, commissioner, and they actually hold a draft. And each captain will select players to fill their rosters. And it's a pretty even match because you don't just have best on worst. You have everybody on everybody, so it makes things a little bit even.
And of course, how did the performance happen? How did Tua perform?
Well, Tua, his stats, his yards looked good. He had 265 yards and a touchdown. But watching him, he appeared a little bit out of sorts today. Wasn't really throwing the ball particularly well. Made some bad decisions here and there. Had an interception by Trayvon Diggs. That's a good thing for Diggs because, if you didn't know, Diggs was our star cornerback that was hurt last year about in the Arkansas game and did not return. He showed great flashes of his former glories today, but I'll get into that a little bit later. But Tua just didn't really look like Tua. He was off, and it appeared that he had communication problems with his receivers on several occasions, actually. But it also, too, at times, when he was throwing, it looked like he was favoring his left leg. So not really sure what was going on there. Had got a report on that yet. But Tua was just okay.
How did Jalen Waddle do?
Jalen Waddle was a beast, as many would expect.
As always,
he was all over the field, and it looks like that he has not slowed down in the off season, and is going to give Alabama a lot to look forward to going into this fall in that incredible group of wide receivers. At times, he made a lot of defensive players look silly. No discredit to those players. Jalen Waddle is just one of those special guys who is just heads and tails above everyone else and is NFL ready, if I can say so.
Mac Jones had a good played a lot today. Looks like he'll be the second string quarterback.
Oh, without question. There is no debate on whether or not he will surpass Tua as the lead signal caller. It's just not going to happen. He led the white squad, had a little bit of a shaky start, but quickly settled in and just exploded. And this is actually the second consecutive A-Day game that he outperformed the first string guy. He had 271 yards and two touchdowns, but he really looked poised. He looked comfortable. Didn't rush anything, didn't make any bad decisions, and just really took command of his white squad.
Something that we got to have a look out. Who is in the running for the third string quarterback? Is it Tua's brother?
Well, actually, that was my next talking point. There was some debate on who would be the second string guy because we had Mac Jones, who was going to be the odds-on favorite coming in. But we also had two early enrollees, like Santiago just mentioned. Talia Tagovailoa enrolled early, and so did Paul Tyson. Now, from what I saw, Talia looked the more confident of the two early enrollees. He's not quite at the level of Mac Jones just because he just stopped playing high school football and jumped right into college football. And at times he looked like a high school player playing against college players. And then there also were times where he showed flashes of great potential. He had 93 yards and actually had a touchdown that he threw in the corner of the end zone to Jalen Waddle. He looked really good, looked calm and confident. You know, he had a few errors here and there, but he's a young kid. He's very versatile and just gave the Crimson Tide faithful something to possibly look forward to.
The first touchdown of the game was Najee Harris with a 4-yard touchdown. How did Harris look?
Well, actually, Harris, as well as the other running backs, had tough sledding all day. The defensive lines and linebackers just piled in and just made it very hard for running backs to get any kind of running room whatsoever. So basically, the running backs were balled up for the most part. There were times where Najee was able to get out of traffic and make some good catches and good runs. As a matter of fact, there was a pass he caught out of the backfield, and he was making some people miss. He tried to make one last person miss and attempted to hurdle him. In the process, he got dropped on his head. But he shook it off and got right back up. Brian Robinson Sr. looked really, really good. He was very tough and really showed that duo that's forming between him and Harris is going to be quite a task for defenses to go up against this fall. So I was really impressed with the both of them.
Freshman defensive lineman Antonio Alfano had two sacks, and he sacked Mac Jones. What do you think about him?
He's going to be a good one, man. A lot of these guys are playing above their age, and they're playing with maturity, and it's shown great development in a relatively short amount of time. And along with Alfano, DJ Dell, defensive lineman, who coincidentally is wearing number 94, for those of you who remember, has the same number as Redskins defensive lineman De'Ron Payne, who was a superstar his last season at Alabama. DJ actually said that he was better than De'Ron Payne. So that still remains to be seen, but he had a really good day.
Other than that, how did you see the game overall? What significant thing that you see different from this group from last season?
Everything still it remains the same. We're not going to see a whole lot of differences until the fall, when this new coaching staff really has the time to implement their system and their way of doing things. Basically, in the A-Day game, well, with any spring game, you're not going to see a whole lot from the teams and from their coordinators. You're just going to get a basic package, just enough to give us a little bit of a feel, you know. But what I saw, a few things I saw, a lot of the young guys majority of them who are early enrollees, like Talia and Alfano, DJ Dale, and some other guys, really took advantage of this opportunity. Matter of fact, we have a wide receiver. Like, we don't have enough already. We have a wide receiver that we got out of Canada. Name is John Mechie. He had 5 catches for 133 yards. It didn't look like anyone was going to be able to contain him. Coincidentally, he's wearing number 3, so flashes of Calvin Ridley, but I dare say a little faster. Very elusive, sure-handed, just really quick. So I saw these young guys really look good. Linebacker, sophomore, Jalen Moody, number 42, he was all over the place today. Matter of fact, he picked off Paul Tyson and got a pick 6 to put the white team up for good. Oh, one more thing. One thing I was very pleasantly surprised with, and all Alabama fans are very, very excited about, that is kicker Will Richard, early enrollee from Hoover, Alabama. He was nailing field goals. He was not missing, looked very accurate, looked very on point, which is completely opposite from what we're accustomed. He was nailing field goals for the white team, whereas Joseph Bolivus was the kicker for the Crimson team and didn't do very well at all.
Nick Saban was wearing his brown suit with pink tie. What'd you think about his attire?
Always the style of coach, especially on our A-Day.
You don't have to wear your casual red polo shirt on this day. Alabama had a good A-Day, of course. And another interesting A-Day that we pointed out earlier on Twitter was Jalen Hurts. He's impressed Oklahoma. What were your thoughts about his performance?
I'm not at all surprised. He came in there, and he's ready. He's game day ready. He's ready to take the lead, and he is ready to, after this year of development, year of sitting on the bench and just biding his time, he's ready to guide this Oklahoma team to possibly a playoff spot and maybe even a national championship. And from the very get-go, landing on campus, he has commanded respect from the coaching staff and the team, and he has just taken the reins like a seasoned veteran, and he has just stepped up in an incredible way, and he just looked great last night. If those of y'all who saw him, you agree with me, and if those of you did not get to see him, you really need to look at the replay. He only played a little bit of time, but his play was on point.
Jalen Hurts is probably the most significant grad transfer coming into this season, of course. And I think, you know, he'll have a great offense, and I think he'll take over with Kyler Murray. I guess the significant difference that he'll see is the defense. You think you would think Hurts will probably see that difference.
Without question, it's no shock to anyone that Big 12 defenses just are let me just think of a good way to put it. They're lacking. He's not going to be like what he's accustomed to with SEC, where it's tough, hard-nosed defenses, stifling defenses. Playing in the Big 12 will allow opportunity to get better stats, and just the sledding's a whole lot easier there. But he also has a great plethora of talent around him, like wide receiver C.D. Lamb. So he's primed for a pretty good run at Oklahoma.
Jalen Hurts had an interesting celebration, and he said, "I know my old coach Nick Saban. I have a good got his tune for that one." Obviously, we could see more of him. Maybe a side that we have never seen before. Besides the celebration, hopefully it's football. I mean,
well, Jalen's just trying to have a little fun in their spring game. Yeah, Nick Saban's not one who is much for excessive celebrations or anything that draws attention to players, whereas Lincoln Riley's a little bit more lax. But don't expect Jalen Hurts to be one of those show-offs or one of those people who draw a lot of negative attention to himself because he's not that kind of player. He's actually a very humble guy. He's very passionate. And, you know, occasionally he might do something to celebrate, but he's not going to be one of those guys that you look at and you're like, quit it.
Hurts was 11 of 14 passing for 174 yards with a touchdown and several impressive throws. His running ability was evident, even while wearing that hands-off jersey and with officials employing a quick whistle. Someone asked after he bolted for a 32-yard touchdown but was called down before a defender touched him if he was scored. He said, I guess you'll have to wait till the fall to find out. We'll all see.
Yeah, absolutely. I like his attitude.
How much you think, you know, Riley obviously is a offensive-minded coach. How much do you think he can do with Hurts like he did with Murray? You think Hurts is – obviously we don't know who's better in your opinion, but do you think he can get out of a lot with Hurts like he did with Murray?
I absolutely think that he can. His track record speaks to himself because he was able to – develop the past three seasons. Baker Mayfield got him to the Heisman Trophy, as well as being the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Very next season, he was able to take Kyler Murray and really develop his craft into, again, getting a Heisman Trophy out of it and getting to a college football playoff. And he's just... he is known for being a great offensive mind, but along with that, just really developing his players and getting the most out of their talent. Now, Dan Enos was able to do a lot with Jalen Wild at Alabama, but let's just face it, Dan Enos is not a Lincoln Riley. So I think that Lincoln is going to be able to take Jalen to his next level. He's going to be able to transcend to being an elite quarterback. And he's great already, don't get me wrong, but this is the opportunity that we're waiting for Jalen, and that's seeing him transcend into an elite quarterback.
You have two articles on the Sportscast website about Jalen Hurts, one called The Era of Hurts Begins, and the other one, Jalen Boomers for the Sooners. Can you explain a little bit about those two articles and what to expect when users read them?
Well, really just, you know, capitalizing off of the spring football games and this start of Jalen Hurts' tenure with Oklahoma. The first article is a precursor to the Sooners' spring game last night, and then the second one being the follow-up or recap, if you will, of his performance in the football game. It just goes into great detail about his journey to Oklahoma, and then when being at Oklahoma and what he's been able to do in a short period of time. And then, like I said, the last article just really shows how he has developed and what he is going to do for his team this fall.
Any more news on the Alliance front? Any players that have been signed lately in the past couple of days?
It's been relatively quiet right now. Hadn't really heard a whole lot, but for the AFF, whatever they call it. Sorry, man, just still hyped up about the A-Day gang. Always exciting. No, the AAF was intended to be the launching pad for players to the NFL. And even though it was unceremoniously canceled, it actually has been doing just that. We actually have...
Sorry about that.
What was that?
Never mind. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
I was just saying that for those who are keeping score at home, there's been 50-plus players from the AAF who are now with NFL teams, and that's quite impressive, and it says a lot about what this league did for these players. Not the management. Not the decision makers, not Dundon, but the teams themselves, and being out in the forefront, being visible, and just getting that second opportunity that they otherwise wouldn't have gotten.
As you know, the Chicago Bears have issues with kickers, obviously how they lost last year's game, the playoff game against the Eagles. they signed an Alliance kicker, Elliott Fry, to a 3-year deal. They announced it yesterday, and Fry has played 4 seasons at South Carolina from 2013 to 16, and most recently for the Orlando Polos in the Alliance, which recently suspended operations. Fry converted all 14 field goals he attempted with the Apollos with his long come in from the 44 yards out. I guess he was the best kicker in the league. There you go. The Alliance is still making an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And you are right. Fry is actually the best kicker, one of the best kickers in the AAF. He was solid the entire year, and he was automatic. But also, too, there's another kicker. I don't believe he's been signed yet. And he was with the Atlanta Legends. Can't pronounce his name at all, but he's pretty solid as well. He just didn't quite get the, exposure that Apollo's kicker Fry did, just because Atlanta was one of the teams that really wasn't that good. So you may have missed what he was able to do in the course of things just because they weren't being advertised very much. But he's really good, and he was automatic. I don't think he missed many. Matter of fact, if they needed a field goal, he was going to be the guy to nail it. So that's another name to be looking for. I'm sorry, I don't know it right now.
It's okay.
I should kick myself being a contributor to a sports site.
Me this week. That someone asked me about the Masters or like the majors, and I didn't know. What was the major? I know, like, the majors part, four tournaments in that scope. But yeah, it's hard to memorize everything. That's the world of sports, isn't it?
Absolutely, man.
The Alliance, a pair of former players from the Alliance filed a class action lawsuit this week against the Alliance, alleging the leaders of the defunct Spring League concealed its financial status and defrauded players out of millions of dollars. But to recover damages from a league probably too insolvent to remunerate hundreds of former players, attorneys say they will target the proprietary sports gambling software the Alliance was developing in conjunction with the MGM. That software promised to track player movements in real time and transmit that information almost instantly to mobile devices, giving better biomechanical data that they could use in play-by-play wagering. I guess, there's still money to be made in the Alliance.
Well, there is, like you're saying, a lot of these players have not been compensated the way they are promised. Wow. Had a lot of promises broken. And then, two, there's a lot of players who have been injured, and the AAF is not covering their medical expenses. So, yeah, it's not a good situation for the AAF. And then they're not really showing that they were, I guess, altogether honorable. And these players are taking a stand, not just for themselves, but a lot of players in the league. As a matter of fact, the AAF was apparently not paying the hotel stays for these players while they were staying in season. And when a lot of them returned to their hotels that last week, they found their belongings in the middle of the lobby because the bill hadn't been paid. So, yeah, it's just not a good situation, and these players really need to be taken care of. And you got two guys who are willing to go to bat for them.
The Alliance news continue. There's still a few players out there not being signed, including Trent Richardson. We haven't heard anything about him, but maybe Richardson's acting for more than he should. But we'll
I doubt it. I think he. I doubt it, man. At this point, Trent just wants to be on a roster, and he's willing to
Which
do whatever
be.
It takes to get there.
Well deserved. I think he was like the most standout player in the Alliance, and to be specific, maybe just like the running back position. But we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. There's still time. April 25th is the draft, by the way. The big show is going to come, and we're trying to coordinate that together, and hopefully we'll have a good solid hour. NBA, right now, the Nets are up against the Sixers 105-94. If the Nets pull off a first game, that's an upset.
Yeah, it's huge for the Nets. And I believe that the Sixers, they have some players that are not quite 100%. Is that right?
I don't know. I've not heard. Actually, now I'm seeing that Embiid has a knee issue. So
yeah, they've got some key players who really aren't 100%. So a lot of people are really questioning just how far would they get in the East. So if they're going to do something, they need to do it early on. If Brooklyn's able to get a few wins out the gate and against them, it's not going to spell very well for the Sixers.
Luke Walton got fired by the Lakers this past week. Of course, Magic Johnson resigned this past week. But now it's reporting that Walton might become the Sacramento Kings head coach.
Yeah, I just read something about that, which is great for him because I think he's getting a lot of unfair negative press because of what's going on in L.A. And a lot of blame is being placed on him. LaVar Ball is one of those people who are leading the charge. But yeah, don't hold this against Walton. He's a very good coach, and I do believe that he should be given a chance. And it looks like Sacramento's going to be the team to do it. There's just so much junk going on in L.A. It's just a reality TV show, a bad reality TV show, full of a lot of dysfunction. And we saw glimpses of it throughout the season. But a lot of it now is starting to really come to light, as we saw by Magic Johnson effectively resigning, and mainly because of all the negativity that is swirling about the Lakers organization. So
you think
I'm sure we will continue.
Yeah.
We will continue to see more from this circus as the days and weeks come.
Do you think, you know, with LeBron coming in, you think he ruined something beautiful happening? I think Lou Walton, you know, coming in and Lonzo Ball, you think that's something that I think LeBron just messed up, and now you're seeing the repercussions?
I think partly yes, to be honest with you. I don't think LeBron should have gone there. I think that it disrupted the chemistry that they had there, which was good. There was a lot of promise being shown from the young guys that are there right now. And it got completely disrupted. And then there was chaos inserted to all of it, especially with the Anthony Davis fiasco. And just a lot of negativity was brought in. And they really should have just held off on bringing LeBron and really concentrated on the talent they had. I think that bringing LeBron in was just a desperation move on the Lakers organization to try to catapult themselves right back into an NBA Finals contention. So, yeah, I wasn't in favor of it. You know, I'm a Lakers fan, so I wasn't in favor of it at all.
We'll see what happens with Lakers organization. Obviously, we're seeing just a LeBron-centric Laker team, and we'll see who stays, who doesn't. And I've been hearing Tyronn Lue might become the head coach, so that should be quite interesting. I thought his coaching days were over.
Which is really funny because, you know, James got him ousted out of Cleveland, and now he's possibly coming to L.A.
No, he actually left like the season after LeBron left. So him and LeBron were cool.
Okay, I must be thinking about
Yeah,
coach.
Like the Cavs fired him after him going like 0-5 at the beginning of the season. So they definitely brought him out.
Which was stupid. Yeah. yeah, now it's coming back to me. Yeah, that was just completely stupid. How do you fire a coach? Yeah, I get it. They're 0-5, but it's 0-5 over a span of how many games are there in the NBA season? And you just left you just had one of the greatest players in franchise in NBA history depart. You really expect the guy to be undefeated right out the gate? That's a complete stupidity. But with the Lakers organization, they're going to have to fix a lot of stuff. And if they bring Tyronn in, to be honest with you, they need to bring a strong coach in there. And that strong coach needed to have complete and total control of that team. And he needs to just clean house. Now, and the thing is, the Lakers are good. You can look at their roster, and you got to ask yourself the question, with this talent level that they have, how in the world were they this bad?
Yeah, something that we need to look at, obviously, and we'll see if LeBron could, you know, take them to the playoffs. That's the goal. and possibly make a deep run. Anything else before we head into game predictions?
Man, I think I've said my piece on everything, so let's go for it.
Let's go. Let's predict the NBA bracket. Well, not the bracket, just like the first round. Who will win? Well, actually, no. We'll just predict like the game ones. Orlando Magic at the Toronto Raptors.
I like Orlando, but I think Toronto is just too strong. I think they take game one and probably the series.
Clippers at the Warriors.
It's going to be the Warriors, and to be honest with you, I'd be surprised if L.A., bless their hearts, wins a game in the series.
Hey, man, all power to them. They got a lot of no-names, but they were able to make an 8th seed, so I'm
mean,
congratulating
yeah.
them on making.
You love their story, but the thing is, too, at some point, even though Golden State is above the other teams in the league, I just feel like with a lot of the negativity swirling about them, there's going to be too much. It's going to cause them to stumble somewhere along the way.
Let's go into still in the West, Spurs at the Nuggets.
I like the Nuggets in this one. I think it's actually going to be a pretty solid series, probably one of the more entertaining of the series. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I think this is like the Nuggets' big test to show if they're good or not. I mean, obviously, I think they'll pull it out, but they have to surpass the Spurs. It's not going to be a walk. Pacers at the Celtics.
Well, Celtics on paper are the superior team. I just wonder if they're going to get rid of their nonsense and be able to play to their full potential. I'm going to take Boston in the first game, but I do like the Pacers.
Pacers are good. OKC at the Blazers. Huge series.
OKC. I think Westbrook and his crew are a better squad. I think they'll take this game.
Let's go Pistons at the Bucks.
Bucks, without question, man. The Bucks are playing at a high level, and they're playing better than anyone in the Eastern Conference. Plus, Giannis, man, that's a hard man to stop.
Tomorrow night, biggest series of the playoffs, Jazz at the Rockets.
Rockets playing at a good level. Harden is just playing insane right now, and I think that he's going to carry his team to a victory.
Yeah, I think Harden is definitely having a good season so far. But I think, who knows? I think I believe OKC can make a deep run this year.
Absolutely, I think they can. I think it's going to be a fight, which is something we need to see in the first round, man, to really draw us in, and it really has the feel of a conference final instead of a first round game, if that makes sense to everybody.
Who do you think will come out alive from the East?
I think the Bucks will come out alive.
Really?
But I think it's going to be a hot, yeah. But it's going to be a hard fought battle from the Raptors. I think the Raptors are going to go pretty far, and they're going to give the Bucks all they want, but I think the Bucks will take it.
You know, and I think the West, I think we all know, is the Warriors, but who will give the Warriors a fight?
You know, I'm still waiting to get the answer to that question, to be honest with you.
Because
one really matches up with them. But I think the biggest question is, you know, are the Warriors at any point going to beat themselves?
Wow. And I think Curry is not 100% fit.
No. And that's another thing. So if they can rally and they can just put all this nonsense aside for the playoffs and they're focused, then, yeah, there's no question they just run through the gauntlet. And they're in the NBA Finals.
Because the first round, they have the Clippers. The next round, they have either Utah or Houston. We're thinking Houston. Houston could give them a fight.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. And that's the matchup that I am waiting to see and fully expect to see. So I'm looking forward to that possible fight.
And then at the other side of the West bracket, you got OKC, Portland, Denver, and San Antonio. We could see OKC beating Portland. And we could definitely see OKC beating Denver. So we could see a OKC Golden State Warrior Western Conference, which I think will be great for ratings.
Absolutely. I definitely want to see that. And OKC might slip up and beat them.
I don't know about that.
I'm going to call it, but I'm not going to mark it down. I'm just saying that I could see a surprise. I could see a shock.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking – the Rockets might slow them down like they did last year, but Chris Paul, not 100% either. So we'll see. Maybe even Utah could give a fight. We'll see. And then obviously in the East, yeah. I see Toronto and Sixers square enough. And well, I don't know, but the Sixers, I don't have full confidence of them making out of the first round. They should, they could, but not 100% all there. So we're definitely going to see. The East is going to be more exciting, I think. Well, no, both ends are going to be fine, but like the East will be as exciting as the West. So,
yeah, it's kind of even now.
Yeah,
there's not really that disparity that we've been accustomed to the past several years.
Exactly. And random question of the day: can a fish be a pet?
Yes, because they are not requiring a whole lot of work. So. But the thing is, though, that they don't really give you anything back, though. I mean, they don't do anything in return. You can't pet them. You can't cuddle with them. You know, they won't protect you. So I guess let me retract that. No. That can be dinner.
It was National Pet Day a couple of days ago, and someone asked me that. Could a fish be a pet? And I'm like, well, good question. But same for a horse. Can a horse be a pet? I mean, you got to be pretty rich.
Well, you got to be pretty rich, but yeah, a horse can be a pet. I mean, they do show affection, and they are of good use.
And did you see the Star Wars trailer yesterday?
Yes, man, I got chills from that. I'm pretty excited. So this could be an incredible wrap-up to our epic series. The previous movie didn't get a whole lot of love from Star Wars fans, which, you know, they need to let that go. I thought it was pretty good, but
yeah.
This is going to be seemingly a great movie, so can't help but look forward to it.
And Palpatine is back, apparently.
Yeah, that's what they're alluding to, so I'm wondering if this is just something to get us interested and get us talking, or is this just, is that the real thing, you know?
Yeah, I think it was a great trailer, which I still don't know which was the better trailer, that or the Joker, but... they're both pretty good, though.
I think Star Wars is a whole other level. But the Joker trailer was very enticing.
Few people do think Joaquin Phoenix is perfect for the job. Like, they don't have to, like, see it. Oh, I mean, I know he's crazy enough to be the Joker.
I'm starting to buy into it, man, especially seeing the trailer and seeing him in that persona. I think he's crazy enough to pull it off. So, but it remains to be seen. And like I said, the biggest thing that we need to do is not try to go in there comparing him to Ledger's Joker persona. Well, you got to separate the two.
Or Jack Nicholson as well. You know, I can't forget him.
Yes, and you know those Jokers are completely different Jokers, and they were a Joker that was fit for that specific time period. So,
but
really don't need to sit.
But you think like the Joaquin version will be more darker than Heath?
I don't know if it's going to be more darker. I just think it's going to still be dark. It's still going to be twisted. It's just going to be a little different.
You know,
and we just need to accept it as a separate entity.
You think he's one of the greatest villains?
Oh, Joker in the comic books? Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, overall, with all the villains.
He's one of them, yeah.
I put him and Darth Vader up there in the top five. And the guy, like the big guy from Batman that broke his back?
Bane?
Bane. He's up there, too.
Yeah. He's a good character, but I don't think he's in the top five. He's not Thanos.
He only did one. Anyways, Justin, how can people reach you online to talk about the A-game or Jalen Hurts?
Well, go to our SportsCast Twitter page, @TheSportsCast1. Then also, too, use that same handle on Instagram as well.
Yeah, we're on the Insta.
We are on the Insta. We're getting a ton of likes for some posts here recently. Matter of fact, the Jalen Hurts posts are drawing a lot of love right now. So check that out.
And, of course,
you can email me if anybody does that anymore. 121 training, that's the number 121 spelled out, training@gmail.com. You can also talk to me on our Sportscast Facebook page. So pretty easy to find, and we'd love some discussion.
It's not too late to get your beach body, right?
Never too late, man. You know, a lot of people are going to mess around and think that they don't have any time, and it's going to come beach time, and they're going to be sitting there looking stupid. Well, now's the time. Heck, I can make you look good in a month before it starts, maybe in weeks. But it's very doable.
That sounds exciting. Justin Riley, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast. We'll see you next week. We'll talk more NBA playoffs, and the big NFL draft show is going to come up in less than 2 weeks. So looking forward to it. Thanks for coming on.
Glad to be here, man. Roll Tide.